He Said, She Said, or Technically Speaking and Simply Put.
Hello, Tracy.
Hello, Corey.
What is in your mind that's good?
Well, it's early May, and I've already got my tan on. There's sunshine, and I don't intentionally go out and get sunshine, but I walk everywhere, and I take Roddy to the park, and I get good UVA between 1 and 4, apparently, is the good time to get those UVA rays to get the vitamin D. So I'm in the right slot, so I got lots of vitamin D running through my veins.
Yeah, that's good, because that is essential to maintaining an optimistic attitude, isn't it?
Absolutely.
So this is He Said, She Said, and we're ready to roll. So what's cooking?
Well, I'm going to revisit in what's cooking is iced mocha coffee or hot mocha coffee. So as the hot weather approaches and on the rise, it's time for delicious, nutritious treat that not only gives you that wake-up call in the afternoon, but also gives you a boost of protein. And this drink can also be used as a herbal coffee or a decaffeinated coffee, and I have used both. And we use a drip coffee maker, so the coffee doesn't get overheated or boiled like in an espresso and doesn't destroy the protein, as some people are concerned about that, right?
Yes, protein is sensitive to extreme heat, and most of its value is preserved if the heat isn't too long, if it's high, or I suppose the naturing process has to do with the corruption of the bonds that hold the amino acids together, and it is relative to the quantity or the amount of heat, the degree and temperature. The best way to cook protein, of course, is long-term in the ground buried, where there's literally no exposure to oxygen and the heat is slow and easy and steady and doesn't destroy any value. But
Like a luau
or luva in Fiji.
Oh, there you go. Okay, so this mocha coffee shake uses strong coffee. Now, you know, you make it according to your own taste. I like the jolt. I like the strong coffee. And this shake is perfect for traveling to the gym or to work, or you can just have it in the afternoon on a hot day if you want to add ice to it, or on a cold winter evening, or you can actually have it in the morning if that's what you want to have your coffee, add a little protein to it. So what I do is I make my coffee, usually a certified organic whole bean dark roast is what I really like, and I add the 3 cups of water, and away I go, I make my coffee. Then once the coffee is made, I put it into a blender, and I add the whey protein. I could add chocolate protein powder, or I add vanilla protein powder. Or if you have different flavors that you like, I wouldn't really do strawberry, but maybe some people have peanut butter flavor or creamsicle flavor or whatever you want, as long as it's a whey isolate, which is best. Then you blend it up in the blender. Or you can add ice and make it an ice shake. So it's just really delicious. Now, I don't drink a lot of coffee, but sometimes in the afternoon I want a little bit of a jolt if it's been a hot day, I've had a busy day, or I need to go out in the evening and do some kind of performance. I like to have this protein shake drink. So I find that in the afternoon, if I was to have a cup of coffee, I get that gut rot feeling. I don't know if everybody else feels that way. I mean, in the morning, I don't feel that, but in the afternoon, I do. But when I add the protein, that doesn't happen for me at all. So I'm finding that it's really beneficial for me to have this. So I get the jolt of the coffee, and I get a boost of protein, and my blood sugar stabilizes, and I'm raring to go do whatever I need to do in the evening.
Well, in the absence of protein, the effect is altogether different. You know, amino acids affect brain chemistry. The neurology of our brain is very responsive. There are neurotransmitters that are formed. There are hormones that respond. So amino acids play this huge role in brain biophysiology, and that's why it's good to send kids to school with protein on their minds rather than a bunch of carbohydrates. And, of course, adding all that sugar, tons and tons of sugar, plus the cream and the coffee just completely ruins the consumer. You still get the jolt, but at the expense of your health, and your insulin chemistry is ruined over time. Whereas if you add the protein like what you're doing,
yes,
it's carbohydrate-free. You get the elevation of the mind, which coffee has been shown to improve function and speed. A lot of athletes use it. I take it in the morning, you know, our cowboy coffee.
Yeah.
Very, very strong, right?
And I just have like a quarter of a cup, and I'm raring to go.
The only thing I can compare it to is true, genuine Greek coffee.
Yes.
even the Italian coffee isn't as strong as the Greek coffee that I've seen and had in Greece. But, I mean, that stuff is so thick and so strong, it's unbelievable. But then what they do is, to me, from my point of view, they ruin it by adding in tons of sugar to it.
Yes,
and they can't believe when I just take it straight without adding the sugar.
If you want to have it a little sweeter, you can add agave, you can add stevia, you can add honey to it. I don't like it. I don't want anything in mine. I just find that the black coffee or with the protein powder is sufficient for me. Now, one of the things that I do want to state is don't reheat it in the microwave. If you reheat it in the microwave, then it goes clumpy. Now, I found that using like a hemp protein or a pea protein, it doesn't work the same as the whey protein when you make this shake. So I would suggest just using the whey isolate in this, or the whey isolate with the concentrate.
Well, you know, that's probably because those other vegetable proteins are not as clean and so-called pure. With whey protein and whey peptides, especially the isolate, you're getting virtually no lipids or fats. You're getting virtually no carbs, lactose. You're just getting what you want, which is the peptides. Those are the things that you want. Now, when you get the plant proteins, they've often got lignans, carbohydrates, fibers, fatty acids present, which can be very useful and beneficial to us, which is why we put it in our shake. But we're not cooking. We're not nuking it then right?
Yeah, exactly.
And you've also got to be careful about nuking. You know, I like to warm up herbal tea in the microwave, but when it comes to a lot of different foods, I'd rather use conventional methods or not use any cooking at all if I don't have
to. Exactly. Have it raw if you can. Most of our food that we eat is raw, which is awesome. And I've also used some herbal coffees, so they work well as well if you don't want to have the caffeinated and you want to get the mushroom extract and all of that in there. That works too, you know. I've had that. A girlfriend of mine gives me these packages, and they're really, really great. And you don't get that gut rot feeling, which I do. It's funny, I can have coffee on an empty stomach at first thing in the morning after I've had my water and my fresh juice, and I don't get that gut rot feeling. But if I had just a black cup of coffee in the afternoon, I find I get an upset stomach. And I do feel like I want a little cup of coffee, just a small cup. So I found that this protein in the coffee really, really works. And it's best not to stir it or to shake it. Put it in a blender. And then if you want to take it with you, use a thermos. And it's nice and hot, or add the crushed ice, and it makes a beautiful summer drink. And I've given it to a lot of people, and they absolutely just cannot believe how simple and easy it is. And they say, oh, I'll never go to Starbucks again. Sorry, Starbucks.
Well, if you have a really, really good sleep, you tend to wake up more alkaline than acid. You know, like life and stress and work acidifies us. Working out acidifies us. So you can see that this brings light on the fact that when you consume something has a bearing on the outcome. Just because it's exactly the same thing doesn't mean it's going to have the same effect. Obviously, if you drink three strong espressos at nighttime before you go to bed, it's going to have a different effect than if you did it first thing in the morning. The other thing I want to mention is water and hydration.
Mm-hmm.
Ideally, you know, and I learned this in Italy by watching the Italians who drink, you know, 14 espressos a day in the little placas down in Brazil. They do this, you know, in a lot of these countries they do this, right? But they always have this little glass of water. And that's what we don't do here.
Mm-hmm.
So I wake up and, you know, we both consume a large amount of water first and foremost to hydrate, to neutralize waste and toxins, to set up an ideal environment. And then you introduce the coffee. And then what I do is I have one cup of coffee that's really, really strong and black. And I start doing my work, and I'm getting that buzz, that elevation. And I'm an endomorph, so I find ectos can't tolerate this. They're just too wired and too buzzy already. But we need stimulation if we're endomorphs, and we can tolerate it. And it's a useful methodology to help raise our metabolic rate. But I'm focusing on the mind here and the elevation. So then after that strong cup of coffee, I have another very large glass of filtered water. And then if I do move on to the second cup, then I'll follow through. But I make sure that I'm well hydrated. And this applies to alcohol consumption, too.
Oh, yeah. I can't drink. Okay, let's say I had a party the night before and I've had some alcohol. I wake up in the morning. That's the last thing I want is a cup of coffee. That is the last thing that I want. I don't want it. But when I wake up in the morning refreshed after going to bed early and no dance party the night before, I want a cup of coffee. I feel good about it. But as I mentioned, I'm not advocating drinking coffee by no means. It works for me and my system, just a small quarter of a cup, as I mentioned. But we have our filtered water first. We have our fresh juice with our vitamin C powder in it. And then we move on to the coffee. So prior to drinking that cup of coffee in the morning, we are well hydrated.
Yes, and just as a general rule, you know, the solution to pollution is dilution. So that one is so true and, you know, presents itself in daily practical occasions so remarkably accurate. It's just unbelievable. So a lot of people get into trouble because, like, I like to, with, you know, the party the night before, I love a coffee in the morning. That's what gets me going. I'm sure millions of other people are similar to that, but not everyone is. Again, showing the universal application of all things for all people is at fault. We shouldn't do what everyone else is doing just because they are doing it.
Well, hello. Do you know how many coffee places are here in Vernon? Vernon's a small town, maybe 30,000 people.
Yeah.
And there are a lot of coffee shops, and there's new ones popping up. So you know what? Coffee's big. A lot of people are drinking coffee, but I don't see a lot of people drinking black coffee. They'll add, oh, well, I'm going to have the rice milk, or I'm going to have the soy milk, or I'm going to have the mochas, but they don't drink it just black, or they put sugar in it. So if you're going to do it, go black. That's our best way to do it. I'm not saying anything about what anybody else wants to do, but if you're going to be drinking coffee, you know, what you put into it makes a big difference as well and how you feel.
Yeah, and it boils down to that unique component of humanity, which means we have the ability to create a future that can exist but has yet to exist. In other words, we can determine in advance in our minds through logic and reason what will happen eventually if we keep doing the wrong thing. In this case, adding that ton of sugar and cream to your coffee.
Mm-hmm. And some people don't realize that, oh, well, I just have two or three cups a day. It's no big deal. But add that up over a week, add that up over a month, add that up over a year, and that's just coffee that you're getting all that fat and milk, that you're getting all that sugar. And if you're drinking whole milk or cream, you're getting the sugar from the milk. So there's a lot of sugar going on just in a cup of coffee, never mind everything else that you're eating that there's hidden sugars in, too. And a lot of people eat in restaurants. So, you know, there's all kinds of hidden sugars and fats and all kinds of stuff going on in there to make it taste good, right? And healthy food can taste good. So that's what we're all about.
Yeah, well, natural food never has any free-form sucrose.
Yes.
It's always buffered with fiber and micronutrients and water. You never take in the quantity or amount of sugar that's possible from a natural plant, ever. It's impossible. It never happened, and only recently is happening. And that's one of the reasons, and it keeps coming up, right, when I read profiles from biochemists, doctors that are into natural medicine, watch interviews, documentaries on why everyone's so fat, it always has an element of sugar in the mix, right?
Yes. You know, if you're feeling like you want to get a little jolt and you like coffee, get really high-quality coffee, make some coffee, throw some protein into it, some chocolate or vanilla, and shake it up in a blender and add ice to it if you like, and you've got a really nice little cocktail for the afternoon or the morning, whatever you like.
Excellent. There you go. So who was our last month's special guest?
Last month's special guest was Mr. Russ Brown. Now, we met Russ in Victoria, I'd say about 18 years ago. Ruby was about 20 years ago, and shared many a delicious meals together. Russ is also a graduate, a CSNA graduate, and he truly is living proof of a fit, healthy, and wellness lifestyle and what it can do for you. He's just really full of vipin' energy. He and his gal pal Trina have shared some fantastic whole food gluten-free treat recipes with me, and I will be sharing with our audience in upcoming SNUs. I really appreciate that when people send me their recipes. As you know, I'm only one person, and there's just the two of us, and I can only come up with so many recipes. We don't eat a lot of treats, per se. Our little joke is salad and protein. That's pretty much what we live on.
What did you call her, a gal pal?
Yeah.
Where did you come up with that one?
Well, a gal pal.
I never heard that.
You've never heard of gal pal before?
No, a gal pal. What is that, female lingo or what? Is that what you get from watching the Woman's Channel?
Probably. I don't know. I've said gal pals for a long time.
I don't know. I got to come up one with a dude then.
It makes sense, though. A gal is a girl, and it's a pal. You know, a gal pal. Anyway, Russ is a CrossFit coach. And what he says about it is that CrossFit is a strength and conditioning program concentrating on building muscle, endurance, and flexibility. CrossFit uses functional movements with high intensity, and I'll say they're high intensity because we've watched some of the CrossFit competitions. There is a community aspect to CrossFit, which is really cool. You can train with others and not alone with an individual competitive component. And as you were speaking with Russ, people in the gym, they train by themselves. Sometimes they get demotivated. They don't want to train anymore. And I train by myself now, but I've always had a partner to train with, and it's fun. I really enjoyed training with a partner. So CrossFit classes are about 1 hour long, and they include a warm-up, skill development, lifting technique, and stretching. And all the classes have a trained coach provided, which is part of the program. So if you were in a gym, you don't have to hire a personal trainer. And I believe that the CrossFit teaches you how to train so that you can train on your own if you want to. Education is a major component in the CrossFit, and they educate you on good gym etiquette, which you and I really like this. And they also talk about whole food nutrition, which is highly encouraged. So all around, the success of CrossFit is community aspect, a healthy social network in a fitness-based environment, and it really is customer service orientated. So it sounds pretty good to me. I'm really glad you did this interview with Russ because it really did clear up a lot of the questions that I have about CrossFit because we get asked about it quite a bit.
For sure, and that motivated me to take it to the next level, to find out about Greg Glassman. I like his philosophy. I like the fact that he proves out what you and I know, that, you know, an overnight success takes 20 years, that he put this idea together long before anyone knew the term CrossFit. He had come up with it. He was putting it to practice in a gym environment on a very, very tiny, small scale. But the outcome, the value was there. I like the fact that he's reaching out and he's created a standard for performance. In other words, and if you watch some of his videos, you'll learn that they actually are trying to define what fitness is. You ask somebody, are you fit? And the person says, well, yeah, I'm fit. But then how do we know you're fit? Now, we know that all CSNA grads have to submit a fitness assessment. That's how important I think it is. And, of course, the science says that your fitness is completely relative to risk of morbidity and mortality, which is why I want everyone to know how important that is. But these guys in the fitness world, if we want to put CrossFit in that zone, Greg Glassman, founder of CrossFit, he's saying this is absolutely critical, and here's how we do it, and here's 10 parameters of fitness, you know, like balance and strength and cardiovascular or aerobic capacity and flexibility, et cetera, et cetera. So I think that's very cool that Russ turned me on. And you find out that an area that you're unsure of or have a perception of or maybe you have a bias towards, it's usually because you don't know enough about it.
Well, I think it's interesting because every time we see Russ, he's always talking about CrossFit, 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 CrossFit. And so we said, okay, Russ, we are going to do an SNU on CrossFit, and then we'll find out more about it. And that's how we find out about a lot of things that are going on. And some of our students say, hey, can you do an SNU on XYZ? And then we do that, and then we find out about it. Not necessarily is it something that we may do in our life, but it's always nice for us as a resource to be able to find out for our students and friends and family what is going on out there, because there's a lot going on out there fitness-wise. And, you know, there are trends and there are all sorts of things going on that don't last. But I think that this CrossFit may not be a trend, that it may last, you know?
Yes, but it's also like a movie that one person likes and someone else hates.
Yes.
Or a style of car that one person loves, the other person thinks, you know, what's so great about that? What I am not attracted to, which Russ pointed out, is that it's all about the group. you feel like you're part of a group. Now, I can really see how a lot of people, when they come to a gym, the traditional style of gym that I actually love to train in, because of the independence, but because of that independence and because you're left alone and no one pays attention to you, and unless you hire a personal trainer, you've got to do it all yourself. Now, I like that. That's my style. But I can see from a commercial profit growth point of view, the way to attract large numbers of people is to create an environment where people feel part of a group, because humans tend to form collectives and groups, and ultimately that does get us into a lot of trouble. And all of the great thinkers, the masters, the philosophers of all time are individuals that are set apart. But the masses tend to like the group. The city is a good example. Why do we all hover around in a big city and all the rest of the land is completely barren and empty? We feel safe in a group, right?
Yes, absolutely. Absolutely. For sure. Because I've seen people in the gym kind of being the happy wanderer, kind of wandering around, not knowing what to do, and see somebody doing something, so they jump on the piece of equipment and do their thing. So, you know, if that's what you want, different strokes for different folks, or whatever floats your boat, right?
Yes, and when we say whatever works, we have to use the caveat. That means that we can prove that what you're doing is creating optimum health, a state of life that is healthy and functional and moving towards progress. If you say to someone, well, whatever works for you, and that person is demoralizing themselves, debasing themselves, losing their health, getting fat, getting sick, they're arrogant, they're an a-hole, whatever. So that to me means to me that that system, although a person might say, well, whatever works for them, I say to myself in my mind, no, that's obviously not working for them. So that approach is something I have absolutely no interest in, right?
Yes, absolutely.
Because I'm interested in outcome. That's what functional medicine teaches. It teaches us to analyze the process and then predict in advance, predictive medicine, what's going to happen. And then you measure what happened. Okay, did my cholesterol go up or down? My body fat go up or down? Can I run faster? This is what athletics is all about. They measure outcome. And the whole thing is about progress, performance, health. We tie that in, you know, to the athletic model, which unfortunately the world doesn't really care about health when it comes to professional sport and athletics.
Right, right, exactly.
When you tie that health into it, it changes the dynamics completely. And this is what I like about CrossFit. The guy is proving through science that there is an absolute connection between fitness and better health. There's an absolute connection. You can't say that you're totally well and healthy if you're completely unfit.
I was talking with my sister-in-law. She says, how come those professional athletes like hockey players and football players make millions and millions of dollars, and here I am raising twins and feeding them well and da-da-da-da-da. How come I'm not making millions of dollars? And I says, well, listen, yours is success for life. Theirs is very short-term, their success. And all that money they're making is paying for all their medical bills later on down the road. Remember we talked about that?
And the rehab. And the nurses and the nursing home.
I know, because professional, let's just face it, when you look at professional sports, there's not a lot of health going on. Well, maybe ping pong, I don't know. But when we get into, like, the contact sports, it may be exciting for people and very competitive edge, but those poor athletes certainly do take a beating. There's no doubt about that.
Well, even ping pong is very, very stressful at the highest possible level.
You know what? I knew you'd have something to say about that.
Yeah, no, if you watch these guys, it's unbelievable. You know who I love watching is Bruce Lee play ping pong with his sticks. I can't remember offhand what they're called. There's a name for them in martial arts.
Nunchucks.
Nunchucks. So he actually plays ping pong using those with an expert ping pong player and beats him.
Oh, my goodness.
It's absolutely the most incredible video I've ever seen and reminds me of how fantastically talented that guy was.
Absolutely. Anyway, thank you, Ross, for giving us your insights into CrossFit, and thank you for being our friend and being a great disciple of nutrition, fitness, and a healthy lifestyle.
Right on. So being that this is your show, I think we should call it She Said, He Said, Sometimes Maybe. We'll call it She Said because she wants to say it. What is your hot topic?
Well, just really quickly, I just wanted to mention that we got the front cover, you and I, and like a 4-page spread in Vista Magazine, Canada's health magazine. So we were pretty stoked about that. That was fun. It was a lot of fun to do that. And they did it. They interviewed us, and they gave us some very great questions. And one of the questions was a philosophical question that Corey had answered, and it was just like out of this world. And then they asked me what I thought, and I said whatever he said, which I think is really funny.
But it's true.
It's true. I couldn't have said it more eloquently than you had said it. You know, so that was quite.
That reminds me of a similar situation. We just finished a big successful seminar. Colgan and myself were the featured speakers. That was in Burnaby at that hotel. Remember, we had those like three seminars in a row over several months, and we had excellent attendance, standing room only.
Yeah,
we had a lot of great success, and we're sitting around. Of course, we want to feed because we're starving, and we go to the restaurant, and the order taker, the waitress, the server says, "What would you like?" And she looks at me, and I said, "Well, have such and such and such and such." And then she looks at Colgan, and he says, "I'll just have whatever he's having." And I just thought, number one, what a great compliment. And also, it was true. Whatever I said, you know, typically I was having, you know, I'm in a restaurant, so I'm as you know, I'm very particular. So I ordered this beautifully customized meal that would meet my standards. And, of course, Colgan trusts me explicitly when it comes to the choices that I make when it comes to food. And to make it real easy for himself, he just says, "I'll just have whatever he's having."
Yeah, exactly. Anyway, that was awesome. So basically what I wanted to talk about, which is always usually a pet peeve that I have, is fat loss versus weight loss. And, you know, we just received, or I just received an email, I'm sure you did too, from ISSN regarding their conference that they have annually. And the poster promoting the conference said, "If it jiggles, it's fat." And I thought, awesome, I like that. And then Dr. Colgan on Facebook has fat loss tips. And I just wanted to say thank you, Dr. Colgan, for keeping it real. So the scientists and the PhDs all know the truth that it's fat you want to lose and not weight loss. Why isn't this mainstream? Even Dr. Oz says things to prevent weight loss to his audience.
That's how you know he's compromising the truth, to make it more appealing to that market that the advertisers want to attract.
Yes, it really ticks me off. Now, I spoke to a fellow who works in a health food store, and he's always promoting, his little YouTubes, promoting products from the health food store that assist in weight loss. So I emailed him. I said, "Why do you say weight loss instead of fat loss?" He says, "Because that's what the customer wants to hear." I'm going, well, isn't it our responsibility as educators to educate the mainstream, to tell them that you don't want to lose bone, you don't want to lose muscle, you know, and water weight, which, yeah, we want to lose some water. But the point is, we want to lose the fat on our body.
And let's also be more specific. Let's lose the non-functional fat, because fat, as you well know, is essential to our life and health.
Yes, yes.
It's
absolutely.
That excess lard. And that lard,
adipose tissue.
Yeah, that lard inside the body we're talking about is built from sugar and bad food and fried food and trans fat. It's not made like an Inuit has more fat than you and I might care to have, but they need the fat in that environment to survive, especially before civilized man reached them, right?
Yes.
If you don't look and act like a whale in frigid waters, you're going to die. You're going to freeze to death. So they need the fat.
Exactly. I think you know what I'm talking about.
Oh, of course. They don't need that kind of fat
in
the way we live.
I see on TV a trillion-dollar industry, weight loss, weight loss, weight loss. You know, and I'm going, and really, if they keep promoting it and keep advertising, and they're making trillions of dollars, and then I see these foods that are designed to help you lose weight, I'm thinking those foods shouldn't even be going into the human body. You know, so it really is just marketing, and it really is a business. Now, that's what we're in business too, but our business is to help people have the optimum health for life. And we have to, if you're listening to this and you are an educator in sports nutrition, health, and fitness, then you need to get real with your customers and clients and tell them we want to lose that fat, the excess fat that is not beneficial to us.
Well, you don't get your client who might be 80, 120 pounds over fat. You don't get them to step on a Tanita scale and step back and say, "Man, are you fat?"
No.
So the truth has to be dispensed with discretion, and that is why you've got to talk body composition. Talk clinical medicine. Talk like a clinician, and also teach people about a fat cell, which is called an adipocyte, and a muscle cell, which is called a myocyte. You know, every kind of cell, there's over 200 kinds in the body. They all have specific names. And then that's where you move away from any sense of mainstream criticism or judgment. When you start talking shop in a clinical sense, you kind of pull away from the prejudice that the person might feel as if you're picking on them.
Right, but I mean, the thing is, as well, they have come to you because they want to be educated. We are there to teach them about their own bodies. And I believe that all these other methods are just playing into them and want to take their money. They don't want to really help them. They just want to make money. These things keep you fat. It's short-term, quick fixes. But we want to look at something that's going to last for a lifetime, that is sustainable. And I also have said to my clients, it's excess energy. We don't need that excess energy right now. You've got to burn off that excess energy. And then I say, which is fat, and then they get a little giggle out of it. If you get your client giggling and laughing, that's a good thing, right?
Yes.
They can laugh at themselves. And you don't want to hurt anybody. What I'm trying to say is not get so real that you're going to say you're just a big fat mother. And well, that's not what I'm talking about, because that's not my style. Or I don't think it should be anybody's style. I'm just saying we have to do it with diplomacy, yet we have to be real. And as you have always said, we need to be scientists.
Well, that's why you, first of all, recommend that they have a body composition assessment, because the facts don't lie. It's like having a fitness assessment. Let's get on the floor. How many push-ups can you do? So the guy or the girl can't even do one.
They can't even get down on the floor.
Okay. So that is not me being prejudiced. That is reality. And see, reality bites at our heels, and reality is not prejudice. This is why you want to use reality, scientific facts, and not you. You stand apart, but you are paralleling. You have a compatible relationship with reality and the science. This is what it's all about. So you get them to stand on a body comp scale or hydrostatic or the body pod, rather, and whatever method you endorse or advocate. So they come out with an outcome, and then you say, okay, this is where you're at. Now, what we know is that this percentage of fat correlates and is a causative mechanistic factor in a negative outcome. Now, this is where you're at right now, and this is where you could be, this is where you might want to go to, this is where you should be, if you want to achieve your goal, which is maybe to perform better as an athlete, because we absolutely know that you will perform. You'll run faster, you'll jump higher, you perform better when more of you is lean functional muscle and there's less fat. You know, all these great athletes in the world, they're not fat, they're lean. Why? And in the sport of life, we've got to maintain a similar kind of standard. So what is the ideal or optimum percentage of body fat for a human being, regardless of age? For a man, it's 10 to 15%. For a woman, it's 15 to 20. That's fact. That's what it is. Now, if you don't want to accept that light travels at a certain speed, if you don't want to accept the fact that the moon and the sun, when we look at them in the sky, they appear to be the same size. But in fact, the sun is 400 times greater in diameter than the moon. But they both look the same, don't they? So you say they're the same. They're the same. They're the same size. That's what they used to think.
Oh, boy.
You see, this is what people don't compute in their brain.
Yes.
Body composition, not weight, because weight, what is that? It's the effects
it's
of gravity.
Everything. It's
the effect
everything.
Of gravity on your mass.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
That's what weight is.
Yes.
It's the effect of gravity on your mass. It doesn't tell you what you're composed of when you stand on a normal scale.
Right. And there you have it, ladies and gentlemen. So, you know, if you are listening to this and you are in the business of helping others and educating others about their bodies and eating well and healthy lifestyle and being lean, you know, and trim and fit, then, you know, we have to get real.
I just thought of a great idea to get rich quick, and this is what I'm going to do. I am going to create a fat tank and invite people to get fat rather than get fit. Come on, everyone, let's get fat. Crawl into the fat tank And we are going to encourage people to shove all that crap into their body and indulge, and they're just going to enjoy themselves. They want to kill themselves anyway.
Well, so what you'd have to do is you'd have to get with McDonald's. You'd have to
But they will. They'll all come in. They'll all join it. We'll have all these massive sponsors. We'll have a huge, gigantic organization. We'll be enormously financially well-off and rich. And meanwhile, you and I can do what we do on the side. And then they can all think that you and I have some kind of weird sickness or disease because we're lean and functional and healthy.
Well, then I'll get my Rolex. Awesome, man. That's awesome. Sure, let's do it. Anybody in? Anyway, that is my hot topic.
Good one, dear.
Yeah.
Okay. So moving on, and finally, towards the end, what is your final word?
My final word is by Robin Williams. Spring is nature's way of saying, let's party!